Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Today is October 28th, 2015. We are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our weekly class on Parshat HaShavua. This week's Parshat is Parshat Vayera. And the essential question we're going to ask today, the general question we're going to deal with today is, can a word in the Torah have different meanings in different places of the Torah? Now, that may be a simple answer. There's a more complicated question, which is, can a word used twice in the very same context, almost in the very same story, mean two different things? That's a little bit more of a complicated question. That's the general question. The specific question I will get to in a moment. Well, let me start with a specific question by looking at a couple of verses with you. Let's start on page 29, which is the end of Parshat Lech Lecha, the end of last week's Parsha. This is not in the handouts. This is in the Tanakh.
Oh.
Okay? So in the Tanakh, on page 29, which is Perek Yud Zayin of the book of Genesis, the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 15, verse Pasuk Tedvav. Vayomer Elokim El Avraham Sarai Ishtecha Lo Tikra Et Shema Sarai. God said to Abraham, as for your wife Sarai, you shall not call her Sarai, Ki Sarashima, but her name shall be Sarah. Uveirachti ota v'gamatati mimena lecha ben. I will bless her. Indeed, I will give you a son by her. Uveirachtiha. I will bless her. Vayetzal legoyim malchei amim mimena yehiyu. I will bless her so that she shall give rise to nations. Rulers of peoples shall issue from her. Vayipol Abraham al panav vayitzchak. Abraham threw himself on his face and laughed. Vayomer bilibo, and he said to himself, Haleben mea shana yivaled, can a child be born to a man 100 years old? Vimsara habat tishim shana teled, or can Sarah bear a child at 90? So God tells Abraham that he's going to have a child from Sarah. And he laughs. Va Yitzchak. And he laughed because he's 100 and Sarah's 90. And he finds it hard to believe that they'll be able to bear a child. Okay, that's a story. Now let's look at another story on page 31. Background to the story is Abraham sitting around in his tent, and he's visited by three men. Now, who these men are is a big discussion. They are men, they are angels, they are God's messengers. And one of the things after Abraham goes out of his way to make them feel welcome, one of the things they do is they say, you and Sarah are having a baby. Okay? Look at verse 9, which is now we're in chapter 18. Perek Yudchet, Pasuk Tet, verse 9. Vayomer Elav, they said to him, Aye Sarah Ishtecha, where is Sarah your wife? Vayomer Hine Ba'ohel. And Avram said, she's in the tent. Vayomer, and they said to him, one said to him, Shov Ashuv Elecha Ke'et Chaya V'hine Ben L'Sarah Ishtecha. I will return to you next year, and your wife Sarah shall have a son. Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in the years. Sarah had stopped having the periods of women. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, now that I am withered, am I to have enjoyment with my husband who was old? So she, it looks that way to me, does the same thing that Avraham did. Avraham, in the last chapter, is told by God that she's going to have, that he's going to have a baby, and he laughs. Sarah overhears from these men that she's going to have a baby, and she laughs.
But she laughs to herself.
So does Avraham. Go back and look.
Oh, he didn't laugh.
It says, "Vayipol Avraham al panav, vayitzchak vayomer bilibo." Well, it's unclear. He laughs and says to himself. Okay, but even so, so if her laugh was to herself, what's the difference? Because then, well, look what happens. Vayomer Hashem al Avraham, lama zet tzachakas Sarah lemor ha'afum damei leid vanizakanti. God seems to be upset. Why is Sarah laughing? Shall I, saying, shall I in truth bear a child? Is it wondrous, too wondrous for me to do? Meaning, Sarah seems to not believe that I can do this. So, of course, what's the question?
She have faith.
We just read two different stories, two different accounts of the same of a similar story. What's the major difference between the two?
Well, God doesn't talk say anything when Abraham laughs.
Right. Abraham laughs, and God doesn't say a word.
It's a man's world.
Sarah laughs. Sarah laughs. And God's upset. Why? What's the difference? Because he says, why is Sarah laughing? Does she think I can't do this?
That doesn't mean he's upset.
What does it mean?
She's laughing because she thinks that it's Abraham's fault that is the...
Whatever the reason that Sarah's laughing, God, even if you don't want to use the word upset, why does God comment? God does not comment when Abraham laughs. But he comments when Sarah laughs. Okay. What's the difference? And the comment is, Sarah lacks faith.
Right.
Does she not think I could do this? Well, how come God didn't say, Abraham, where's your faith?
Because Abraham had already been proven. He's already a member of the covenant. He's in the in crowd. Sarah is still out there. She's the one who tried to kill Ishmael and Hagar.
Did it happen already?
Well, okay, interesting.
But it didn't happen yet, no?
Yeah, that happened already.
It happened already.
Okay, so you think that Avraham gets a pass because he's
already
in.
Been, he passed his 10
But doesn't this, but what is this then? Then I think the question is stronger.
He already agreed to circumcision.
But the question is stronger then. If Avraham has passed and he's such a man of faith, why does he laugh?
Right.
Shouldn't God now sort of scratch his divine head and say, did I make a mistake with Abraham?
I guess he laughs because he can't imagine how he's going to father a child.
So this is what I mean before when I ask, can the same word, it's not the exact same word, it's the same root, but can the same word that's used in the same context mean two different things? Is it possible? Is it possible that when it says that Abraham laughed, it means one thing?
He was laughing with pleasure.
And when it me and when it, right and when Sarah laughs, it means another thing. Is it possible?
I don't think it's possible.
Well, in the Torah, does the Torah operate that way?
Yes.
Maybe God is more judgmental at Sarah because she already had the sign of the ability to have children. She has it
not. But she doesn't.
She knew already.
But she doesn't. She has good reason to doubt. She physically, she biologically believes that she can no longer bear a child.
Well, she never had any children. Avram did have children.
So he that's another reason why he shouldn't laugh.
Yeah.
Because you know he can have it.
Well, because you keep digging out, you're trying to help him, you keep digging him into a deeper hole.
No, well, because of course.
With friends like you, who needs enemies,
she's,
right?
She's laughing.
I'm glad you weren't a lawyer.
He's gone.
No, she's laughing because she says physically, because of her period, she cannot physically have a child.
She never had.
No, but now she really can't have a child. And he is laughing because, isn't that funny that I'm going to have a baby? She's laughing more tragically.
Okay.
He's laughing.
Then if she's laughing tragically, why does God take her to task?
That's God. That you figure that out.
God doesn't know that it could happen.
Yeah, well, because I think she. I
so
think
here
she,
we come to a major.
I think she's laughing. She's laughing like yes. Yeah, sure,
here we come
happen.
To a major debate.
A man can have a child forever.
Here we come to a major debate on this question of can the same root used in the same context mean different things?
Yeah.
So first of all, let's go back. Let's go back and let's look at an example. Just one example where we have the Torah telling us, Rashi telling us, that the same word or root can mean different things in different contexts.
But maybe so other words.
Take
word this
sheet.
Cannot mean different things. Tzachak? The root tzachak. Can it mean different things?
That's what we're trying to figure out. Because it seems, it sounds like it in this context, Abraham laughs, and that's okay. Sarah laughs, and that's not okay. So it may, meaning it may, it means laughs in both contexts. But what type of, could it mean a different type of laughter?
Laugh with me or at me.
Could it mean a different type of laughter? Like the famous, what's the famous mob movie? Like you're laughing, like ha ha funny? You're laughing at me type of thing?
Oh.
So let's look at Rashi on this handout that I gave you. It says page one. This is from a different story. This is from the story of the sale of Yosef. On the bottom of the page, they're labeled on the bottom. It says page one. Mm-hmm. We're on the bottom half of the page. There's an arrow right next to the word Vayishme'u.
Right.
So here, the brothers are scheming against Yosef. And they want to kill him. So Yehuda says, don't kill him. Let's sell him to the Yishma'ilin. And the end of the pasuk says, Vayishme'u echav. Now, out of context, how would you translate? Forget the story. How would you translate the word vayishme'u?
They heard.
Out of context. What does the word shama mean?
Listen.
Normally, the word shama means listen. They heard him. Now, that does not make sense here, that they heard him. Because, of course, they heard him. They weren't deaf.
They listened.
So what does vayishme'u here mean? Vayishme'u means they hearkened. They took his advice.
They listened.
They hearkened. They took his advice.
They listened to him.
Kiblu.
They listened
kiblu.
To him.
They kiblu. H-E-R.
You can hear but not listen.
So now look at Rashi, which is on the bottom. Number 22. It says 27 by Yishma'u. And they hearkened. Everyone see that?
Yeah.
Same page on the bottom where the arrow is. That's Rashi's commentary. Okay? By Yishma'u. Vikiblu mine. The Targum, the Aramaic Targum, the Aramaic.
Rashi here.
This is Rashi,
the bottom
right
bottom.
Here, where the arrow is. Look where the arrow is. This is the commentary of Rashi.
Wait a minute, was she looking the wrong place?
27?
Yeah, yes. The commentary.
Show
of Rashi.
Me where you're looking.
Do you see it written Rashi here?
This is Rashi.
Here Rashi.
This is Rashi.
It says Rashi.
Oh, it says, but it's not letters of Rashi.
No.
There's nothing holy about Rashi letters.
No, I don't know.
This is Rashi. Oh, I see. It doesn't look like Rashi. Right, okay. Trust me, it's Rashi.
I trust you.
Vayishmu. So what does it mean? Vikiblu mine. The Targum, the Aramaic translation,
it doesn't
means,
say Vikiblu. Say Vikabilu.
Okay.
Mine.
That they,
and I don't understand.
That they accepted it. From him, from the word kibel, they accepted it. V'chol shmiya shehi kabalat divarim kigonze, and wherever shmiya denotes the acceptance of words, such as this instance, uchigon vayishma Yaakov el aviv, and Yaakov hearkened to his father. Naaseh v'nishma, we will do and obey. It doesn't mean we will do and we will hear, right? It means we will hearken. Miturgam nikabel. In all those cases, on the next column, same page, over to the next column. In all of those cases, the Targum, the Aramaic translation, says nikabel. We accept. V'chol shehi shmiyata ozen, but wherever it, meaning the word or the root shin mem ayin, denotes the faculty of hearing, right? The physical or biological faculty of hearing. Kigon vayishmu'u et kol Hashem Elokim. And they heard the voice of the Lord the God. Mitalech bagan, walking in the garden. V'rivka shomat, and Rivka heard. Vayishma Yisrael, and Israel heard. Shamati et tlunot, I heard the complaints. Kulan miturgam u'shima'u. In all those cases, the Targum translates them as, and they heard. So what is Rashi teaching us here? Rashi's telling us, teaching us how to learn Chumash, that sometimes the word, the root, shin, mem, ayin, means accepted advice, accepted counsel, and sometimes it means physically hurt. So here's an example in the Torah of the same word meaning different things. One time it's a physical notion of hearing, and the other it's the notion of accepting counsel. Now that's important to know, that the Torah operates that way, and the Rosh is giving us a tool to teaching us that we should use the Targum, that we should use the Aramaic Targum Unculus, it's called. Whenever we see the word, or a word with the root Shin Mem Ayin, to look at the Aramaic Targum, so we could really understand what the verse means. Now, the question that we had before is a little different. Here, in the same, not the same story, but really it is the same story, and certainly the same context, the same activity, after the same news has been given to Avraham, he laughed. After the same news has been given to Sarah, she laughs. When Sarah gets the news, God reacts, I think, negatively. When Avraham gets the news, God does not react. So is it possible that the word
has two meanings?
Has two meanings.
No. Maybe
not that I know,
but he said Belibo. You only sahak Belibo. But she made fun.
No.
No.
Look at it. It says, but Tzchak Bikirba.
I said that before.
Yeah.
That she left.
You want to give him a
okay,
point.
So, now, here's something very interesting. What's your first... This is a machloket. There's a debate amongst the commentaries as to what's going on here. One school of thought is that, yes, Abraham's laughter and Sarah's laughter are different. What's the proof that their laughter is different?
That God reacted
differently. Right, right. This is an example of the Torah acting as a commentary on itself. We have Abraham laughing and Sarah laughing. How do I know they're different? Because the Torah tells us they're different, because God reacted differently to them. The Torah here serves its own commentary.
This is
right, it's very interesting. This is what Rashi says. Look what Rashi says. Keep the same Rashi page you were looking. Turn it over to page 2. On the bottom of the right column, Vayipol Avraham al panav va yitzchak.
He was like
hysterical. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Ze tirgem, back to Unculus. Unculus is very important here. Ze tirgem Unculus. Unculus translated this laughter, Lashon Simcha, in a sense of joy. V'chadei. What was Avraham doing? He was laughing out of joy.
Oh, I don't think so.
Right? V'chadei, in the sense of joy. Chadei is the Aramaic word for happiness. Okay. Like chedva. Joy.
Pleasure.
Okay? Pleasure. V'shel Sarah. How does Unculus translate Sarah's laughter? Lashon Machoch.
What?
To denote... it says Machoch. A different type of laughter. Lamadita, from this you learn, Shavraham he'emin v'samach, Avraham believed and rejoiced, v'sara lo he'emina, Sarah did not believe, v'ligla, and sneered.
She sneered.
Machoch is also a different type of laughter, a negative type of laughter.
One is like a...
Oh, yeah.
Right.
One is like hysterical laughter, almost.
V'zeh. And this is what Rashi says. V'zeh she'kvid HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the proof? Therefore, the Holy One, blessed be He, was angry with Sarah. V'lo hikvid al Avraham. And was not angry at Avraham. So Rashi says the same thing. The Torah is working on a commentary. If you want to know what the difference between Avraham's laughter and Sarah's laughter, if there is a difference, just look at the reaction.
No.
Right? Look, the reaction of one is nothing. The reaction of the other is disappointment. Must have been that Avraham's... So here what's Rashi really saying? We have the same word in the same story, which means two different things entirely.
Yeah, but when you say, and Abraham laughed and fell on his face, to me that almost sounds like he was so hysterical that he
No, but that's not what it means. No, because in the Torah, fell on your face is a religious action.
Oh, okay.
Right? You know, in English we say, I fell on my face laughing. There's no such phrase like that in the Torah. Falling on your face in the Torah is a positive, vigilant, right. And in fact, the Bechor Shur, it's good you brought that up, who's a 12th century French commentator, he says the following, which I didn't give to you. He says the following. Vayipol Avraham al panav Yitzchak, nefilato vishtachaviyato mochichim she'emin. Right, his falling on his face proves that he believed in Hashem. Ki deres hoda'ahu. What do people do when they are grateful? They fall on their face. Samach v'tzachak v'hoda v'shtachaveh. He was happy and he laughed and he was grateful and so he bowed down. Va'amar kama nes gadol. And he said to himself, what a great miracle this is. The Kama Tova Bichlala Shemishana Sidro Shel Olam Alayla Tova. And how wonderful is that God is changing nature for me for the good. So another proof in the text that Avraham's laughter was a laughter of happiness was that he essentially fell to God in praise after he did it.
That is nice.
She's sort of like, it's not acceptable.
Well, she
now let's just okay. Now right now the problem with the question of course is it's unclear at best if Sarah knew that these people were angels, right? We have to take Sarah off the hook a little bit.
He knew
Avraham. It's possible that because it's God speaking to Avraham in Yud Zion, right? If you go back. Vayomer Elokim El Avraham on page 29, verse 15. It's clear that. So, now, by the way, what's also clear from this story? Abraham knew already that he was having a child from Sarah. But what didn't he do?
He didn't tell Sarah.
Had he told Sarah, she wouldn't have been surprised in chapter 18. Right? Abraham knew.
He didn't
tell her. So they had a communication problem. Right?
What?
Right?
Not 100 years old.
He didn't tell her. Now, so to give Sarah a little bit of, get her off the hook a little bit.
Pass.
How's she supposed to know these people are? Three strangers walk up, they eat your food, right? You're 100 years old, you're running
she's
all over
known.
The place.
She's only 90.
Right? And they say, hey, you're going to have a baby from your wife, Sarah.
Sure.
And she's like, what are these people out of their mind? I'm 90 years old. He's 100 years old. No, neither of us having a baby. So she laughs. The problem is, though, that God still takes her to task for it. So either she knew that they were angels, or it doesn't matter. Meaning, she should have faith. Sort of like what Scott was saying.
Oh, but she heard it from Avraham. She didn't hear it from Malachim.
Not from Avraham, but she overheard a conversation of people.
She heard it from
Avraham,
she heard it from the guys.
Now.
So she was laughing at her husband more.
She was listening.
So one side.
Eavesdropping.
So one side of the argument, as I said before, is that in this case, Avraham's laughter and Sarah's laughter mean two entirely different things. But there's another school of thought that Abraham's laughter and Sarah's laughter are the same, and they're both the laughter of disbelief. Which brings us back to our original question. If Abraham and Sarah both laughed out of disbelief,
so why did God react?
Why does God react negatively to Sarah, but not negatively to Abraham?
Oops.
I really think that because he heard it more from authority, and she just heard it from him. That's what I think. So
she
heard it from
Abraham.
Didn't she hear it from the same source?
So from your perspective, she's justified in laughing because she just heard it from human beings.
And she heard it from Avraham. She said, oh, atazaken, man.
Well, she didn't hear it from Avraham. She overheard the angels telling Avraham.
But she didn't know they were angels.
We don't know if she overheard them.
Yeah, we do.
We do know that.
We do.
One second.
Look. Yeah, but she's listening. V'sarah shomat petach ha'ohel v'hu acharav. She's hearing the conversation, so she hears the angels tell Avraham. It's the same thing. From her perspective, if they are in fact human beings, Why should she believe them? But that then that begs another question, meaning then why did God get upset with her?
But if God told Abraham, how come she heard it from quote-unquote human beings?
Because he didn't tell her.
No, but if she was listening to the tent, didn't she hear it at the same time that Abraham...
No, that happens in a different story.
Oh,
in the previous chapter,
okay, right.
God's having a private conversation with Abraham.
Oh, okay, fine.
And he says, you're going to have a child with Sarah. Now, fast forward, I don't know, a day, 2 days, 3 days, I don't know how long it is. Abraham's sitting at his tent, and these three men come and say,
okay,
hey, you're going to have a baby, and Sarah overhears that.
I didn't realize it was different times.
Why do they have to tell him that? Again, probably because now they're giving him the time frame. The first time God tells him, he just tells him, you're having a baby. Now he says, in a year from now, you're going to have a baby. Okay. But even so, but if she in fact hears it from human beings and she is justified in her laughter, then we have a question as to why God gets upset.
It says, on Pasuk 15.
Yep. Right, right. This is a big problem. She lies to Abraham.
Maybe she did not lie. Maybe that's exactly what she felt.
Anyway,
but it says that she laughed.
Who heard her laugh?
And he answered, "No." But she was frightened.
Good. It's good. Yet Shula is very good. It says that she laughed on her own. So that's what happens. So let's follow this. Sarah laughed to herself, and she says, I'm not going to have a baby. Verse 13, then God said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Again, because God's the only one who
knows
that she laughed.
He knows she left inside.
Because he knows that she left inside. And so then, what happens? So then Sarah lied, meaning something, there's something missing here. Abraham, the Torah doesn't tell us, but Abraham must have gone over to Sarah and said, why'd you laugh? Because otherwise, verse 15 makes no sense. Who's she talking to?
No, God said.
God's having a conversation with Abraham.
With Abraham. And then Sarah says, I didn't laugh.
There's a second conversation with Abraham and Sarah.
Right, which the Torah doesn't record. The Torah doesn't record Abraham's accusation to Sarah. There must have been a conversation. Right? Somewhere between verse 14 and 15, Abraham must have said, hey, well, it was Bekir Ba, but God told Abraham that she left.
And she's laughing.
God knew.
So
Abraham goes to Sarah and says, why are you laughing? And then she says, I didn't laugh. Wait, listen, listen. God says, wait.
Sarah says,
I didn't laugh. And then Abraham says, you did laugh. And now she gets upset. Now she's scared. Why? Because now she realizes that now there's something divine going on. Because how on earth would Abraham know that she laughed unless he had a nevuah that she laughed? Now she's really freaking out, right? Now she's afraid. How could anyone know that I laughed? This is all inside. And now she begins to get nervous, and he replied, yeah, you did laugh. I know you laughed. God told me that you laughed. And that's the end of the story, right? That's the end of their...
She's
busted.
She was caught in her...
Busted.
I mean, she's afraid. All of a sudden, Avram comes up to me and says, why did I laugh? How would he possibly know? And so she lies because she's afraid, and then she's busted.
Mother would have said,
"Okay." So we can excuse Sarah's,
behavior,
fib at that time, but we still have a big question. If it's the same laughter, why is Sarah rebuked, or why is Sarah's action rebuked, and Avram's action is not rebuked? And if in fact the question is even stronger if you argue that she had no idea that those men were angels. Because if they were just men, who wouldn't have laughed? Right? So there is a very interesting approach in the Midrash. Take out this page. This is really very interesting.
That's the Onkelos?
No. This is the Midrash. This is the Midrash. Okay? Now, the other side. It looks like this. It has a line in the middle and two columns. Okay, it says page 762 in the top left.
So where's the midrash? Below?
I'm going to get you the midrash,
where the arrow is.
Okay, the arrow says as follows. Vayomer Hashem al Avraham, lama ze tzachaka Sarah. And the midrash asked, mipnei ma micha hakatuv b'sara v'lo micha ba'Avraham. Our question. Why does the verse object to Sarah and not object to Avraham. Now, this is really an interesting thing. After all, it says the same thing. Avraham fell on his face and laughed. Ella, what do we learn from this? Lamdecha sheshnayim sheasu davar shelo kehogen. Two people who act inappropriately. V'yachad mehen gadol v'yachad katan. One is greater than the other. Ein mimachin ela bekatan. The Torah only objects, or one only objects to the lesser one. V'hagadol margish me'alav. And the one who's greater understands on his or her own that they are also being rebuked. Meaning, what is the Midrash is telling us something very important here. God did rebuke
Abraham.
Now, what's interesting about this is, of course he did, because God had two options to rebuke Sarah, indirect and direct. He could have gone to Sarah and said, Sarah,
what did you do?
Why do you laugh? She was a Neviah too. She was a prophet. God says to Avraham, why did Sarah laugh? And that's what the Midrash is picking up on. Meaning, why did God just go directly to Sarah and say, Sarah, this is God speaking. Why do you laugh? Instead, he goes to Avraham and indirectly rebukes Sarah through Avraham. And what's the Midrash assuming Avraham's thinking now? Oy vavoy, I did the same thing. I'm just as guilty as she is. So the fact that the Torah doesn't directly rebuke Sarah, I believe, is what leads this Midrash to make its point. Now, this Midrash has an earlier source, an earlier Midrash. Turn the page.
So what's the difference between the two big things?
Avraham is the greater Navi, I think it's assuming. But they both did the same thing, Shelo Kehogen. They both laughed when they were told something that God could do. Meaning, what's this Midrash saying? Avraham also laughed out of disbelief.
Actually, Avraham.
Meaning, it's this Midrash is a patch to Avraham. That Avraham, who's the Gadol, should have had more faith. He did something just as bad as Sarah did.
It's a good thing for the feminists to say, oh, they both think, but he's bad.
Right. Now look at this Midrash. This is from the book of Vayikra. This is on the back page. There's words with an arrow. Okay. After Nadav and Avihu, right, Aaron's sons bring an Esh Zar, a foreign fire, onto the Mizbeach in the 10th chapter of Vayikra. And then a fireball comes down from heaven and kills them. There's a whole debate as to whether or not Aaron and his remaining sons should eat one of the karbanot. And instead of eating them, they burn them. Aaron thought, because he was an onen, right, he was a sort of a mourner between death and burial, right? That's the term, between death and burial. You're an onen. Onen, Aleph, Vav, Nun. Onen, okay? It's a language of, it's used elsewhere in the Tanakh as a language of Avelut. But you're not an Avel until the burial. So between death and burial, you have a different status of Avelut called Aninut. So Aaron was an Onen, and he said, I'm not supposed to eat a Karban because I'm an Onen. And Moshe thought he was supposed to eat the Karban. And Moshe gets mad. But what does the Pasuk say? You want to see it for yourself? You want to turn to page 228. Top of page 228, verse 16. This is Perek Yud in the book of Vayikra, chapter 10. Ve'et si'ira chatat darosh darash Moshe. Moshe is eagerly inquiring, where is this karban? Darosh darash, right? The double language. Where is this karban? Vine soraf, it was burned. Vayiktsof al Elazar v'al Itamar b'nei Aaron hanotarim lemor. And he got angry at Elazar and Itamar, the sons of Aaron. Who didn't he get angry at?
Aaron.
Where's Aaron in all this? He's also part of this problem. Look at the Midrash now. Vayiktsov al Elazar va'al Itamar, milamed shenatan panav keneged habanim v'ka'as. The explicit text says he turned his face to Elazar Itamar and was angry. B'nei Aharon, why does the Torah have to tell us that these are Aaron's children? Because we know these are Aaron's children. What does that word, that phrase add? B'nei Aharon, milamed sha'af Aharon haya imahen b'ketzef v'anotarim lo haya
Pinchas
imahen le'mor hashir. That doesn't matter. Imahen b'ketzef. That meaning Aaron was with them in Moshe's anger. But out of respect for Aaron, Rashi says, he did not look at Aaron. He looked at Elazar and Tamar and said, why did you burn the carbon? But who was standing right behind him?
Aaron.
And Aaron's thinking, oops, I did something wrong. It's a similar idea.
Yeah.
Right? The two kitanim, the little ones, in this case the sons, are being reprimanded by Moshe, with the gadol, the greater one, Aaron, standing right there. Supposed to realize that he also did something wrong, but out of respect, he doesn't do it. And that's what the Midrash says God did here with Avraham. He rebuked Sarah with Avraham, through Avraham. It's interesting, God never once rebukes Sarah directly. He only rebukes, he says to Avraham, why did Sarah laugh? And then Avraham presumably says, why did you laugh?
And she said,
but God never rebukes her. So it's on one level, it's nice. She doesn't get the direct wrath of God. She gets it indirectly from Avraham. And by getting it indirectly from Avraham, Avraham is the one who is really directly realized he's the one who's being rebuked.
He's the lesser and Sarah's the greater.
Well, I guess now it goes back and forth. But the point is, the direct language of the rebuke is against Sarah. But since it's through Avraham, I think that's what the Midrash picks up on, to indicate that, no, they were both wrong. Vayitzchak, vatitzchak means the same thing. They both laughed out of disbelief. And they were both rebuked. One directly-ish, one indirectly. As opposed to Rashi and the Bechor Shor, who says, no, the Torah uses the same word all over the place in different meanings. Avram's laughter was a laughter of happiness and joy, as proven by the fact that he bows down, and Sarah's laughter is a laughter of disbelief. They have a machloket as to exactly what their laughter was, and even if Sarah's laughter was disbelief, and Avram's laughter was disbelief, now we understand why the text only seems to focus on Sarah's laughter, but really we know through this teaching of the Midrash that they're both being rebuked, and we have another example of that in the Torah with Elazar and Itamar as well.
Maybe it was Sarah more because she has a bigger role in having a baby.
Because she knew she was physically
in the delivery.
Right.
So it's
but it also says that